Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Second Samuel 9 and 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shall eat bread at my table continually. You don't deserve it. You wonder why it continues. You think it should be over, that nothing should be left but desert sand and a parched soul. But for some reason, it's still there. The bad news blew in like a destructive whirlwind. The nurse panicked. She didn't want the little boy to be ripped apart by angry dissenters who'd waited for Saul's death to enact vengeance on his family. She scooped him up in her arms. She looked for mystery riders on the hills and saw none. There was a black horizon around Israel, and before death came to claim the cute little toddler with Jonathan's eyes, she made a break for it. She wasn't used to running. Her lungs revolted in her chest and threatened to shut down. Her heart thumped so fast she felt like horses were galloping in her ribcage. She panted heavily and ran even harder. But then her right foot hit an unseen root sticking out of the ground. She stumbled, and before she could regain her balance, her embrace of the toddler weakened. He fell. Something snapped, and the boy yelped in pain. The nurse panicked. She cried out in disbelief. She was trying to protect the boy from harm, not be the cause of it. But she had no time for guilt. She could hear the enemy horses thundering over the hills. She could envision the sharp swords drawn, lifted high, and maliciously brought down on the helpless. And she would not let that happen to this boy. While the young Mephibosheth whimpered in pain, the nurse scooped him up and ran. She whispered tearful apologies in his ear and pledged to carry him for the rest of her life if necessary. And oh, how escape mentalities leave lasting injuries. You're just trying to get away. Get some peace of mind. Get away from the haunting memories, the hurtful words, and the hateful feelings. But in your dash from death, you stumble. You hastily make decisions about things that needed a little more time. You tripped over trust and put your faith in someone who wasn't really experienced to handle your situation. Now that you've escaped the pain of the past, you live with the pain of hurried decisions. But there is hope, my friend. God knows how to build a bridge of hope from the mangled fragments left behind by a rush of judgment. God can repair what was broken in fear. He can elicit inspiration from an injury. You may feel lame in certain areas of your faith, but the King has plans for you. Just trust Him. From that day forward, his foot was crooked. He hobbled through his young life. Everyone knew when Mephibosheth was nearby. They could hear him dragging his foot. He may have been lame in his foot, but his heart flowed with compassion, and he was always the friendly conversationalist in town. His grandfather had been unceremoniously killed in battle. His beloved father had been slain defending the land, but there was no bitterness in his tone. He didn't live with a chip on his shoulder or pity in his spirit. He didn't demand attention as a conversation piece where folks would pat him on the head and sigh sorrowfully about what he had been through and who he had lost. And then the bright morning came when David the king called for him. Presumably he felt nervous about a meeting with the king. Was the king going to eliminate the rest of Saul's seed in the earth? Did the king perceive him to be a threat to future plans and treaties with other nations? Mephibosheth didn't know at first if he was going to be exonerated or executed as a son of Jonathan. Maybe he hoped that the power of friendship between his father and the king would come to remembrance. But the call of the king had nothing to do with judgment or imprisonment. It had to do with restoration and inclusion. Mephibosheth was given an invitation to sit at supper with a king. And not just once or twice. Not just a casual guest traveling through the country on some venture to a foreign land. He was going to sit at the king's table continually. He would enter a realm of lavish meats and luscious fruits. He would sit in an atmosphere and laughter and endless music would abound. And it never had to end. David offered Mephibosheth extended stay mercy. And my friend, when you have the king's mercy, you have want for nothing. Mercy, like fire, you see, never dies. Exodus 27 and 20. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Regular. Always there, continuously compassionate, perpetually peaceful, burning evidence that he will always be there. Adam Clark writes, quote, "That is, such oil as could easily be expressed from the olives after they had been bruised in a mortar. The mother drop, as it is called, which drops out of itself as soon as the olives are a little broken, and which is much purer than that which is obtained after the olives are put under the press." End quote. Oh, I love the implication here. It takes a little brokenness at all times to keep the fire burning. Passion and pain coexist. Your struggle today is a burgeoning flame of strength tomorrow. The candles, you see, were to burn continually. When your flame is diminished by fear winds, his fire burns on. When your light is extinguished by vortexes of cynicism and you wonder if you'll ever ignite hope again, his flame burns on. When your consuming ambition becomes a smoldering depression and you wonder if you will ever ignite another dream, his flame burns on. Touch the flame, be reunited with passion. Touch the flame, be re-energized for the unfinished part of the journey. Feel the inner fire of his grace. Be enthused to try again what you have consistently failed at. Be engulfed by his essence. And know, my friend, that nothing is impossible. Joshua 6 and 12. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns, before the ark of the Lord went on continually, and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. A big walled city sat beneath a scorching sun. A questing people approached from the east. The inhabitants of Jericho had carved idols for their deified defense. Israel had God, and the ark replete with golden wing-touching cherubs provided the creator of the universe a front-row seat as they encompassed the city. Curiously, the ark of the Lord went on continually. There it is again, extended stay presence, right there in the middle of a coming fray. God doesn't just show up after the battle is over to comfort you. He will walk with you into the storm. At times you may wonder why he doesn't change the outcome. But never forget, we only judge the outcome based on our feelings, our perceptions, and our sense of importance in the realm of time. He stays there because he knows where. You may give up on yourself, but God won't give up on you because he knows what's beyond the battle. He sees the grown crop after the storm of rain. And because the presence of God continued, Israel conquered. The wall of Jericho eventually slid into an earth-shaken crevice to become a future novelty for archaeology. The city ceased to be a superpower in Canaan. Israel possessed the city with swiftness and celebration. Garments of fine silk from Persia and thick wool from the high country was gathered. Gold coins mirrored the faces of observing Jews. Cattle and horses were corralled for God-sanctioned purposes. For when you have the presence of God, it doesn't matter how impregnable the enemy seems. Doubts, barriers must crumble. Fears, facades must collapse. Angers, mortar must disintegrate. My friend, if you get the presence of the Lord in your life, you can pass any test. 2 Samuel 15 and 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo. While he offered sacrifices, the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." A messenger came to David. I'm sure by the feel of the air and the gut instincts of a warrior, David knew what the messenger would report. David pensively listened. He loved his son, but he couldn't love his sin, and his son had put himself at the center of a deep conspiracy, and it increased continually. You'd think it can't get any worse, and then you discover it's an extended-stay trial. The mold thickens on the walls of your faith. The corrosive elements of fear eat at your inner confidence. The darkening sky only gets darker, and the winds of doubt blow fiercer still. And just like the messenger came to David, there are times that the reports that come in disseminates information of a gradually declining nature, and you can feel your hope gauge dropping fast. For you had hoped the message would be positive. Do you have a messenger bringing bad news? It doesn't mean the messenger is insensitive. It may simply be a friend giving you the facts, or a doctor showing you the results of the exam. You've heard the expression, "Don't shoot the messenger." Well, at times you probably feel like finding a way to just shoot the message as if it were a beast in real life being let out of a cage. For David, the news wasn't good. The conspiracy was growing like wild hyssop on a desert hill. Yet, even though the content of the message wasn't great, the ability to prepare was based on the information. When a tornado siren goes off and a weatherman comes on the radio and informs you that a funnel cloud has been spotted in your area, that is certainly not comforting news. It's not celebration fodder. But it does allow you the opportunity to prepare for the worst. And so he found out that the people continued to increase their support for Absalom. It was extended stay betrayal. How do you deal with it? How do you stop it? How do you survive it? David did, by responding immediately to the message. He didn't delay in self-pity. He didn't go back to bed and let depression immobilize his mind and energy. He went into action. He refused to let Absalom's evil overtake them. He quickly assembled his closest friends and remaining family, for they would depart, and they would depart immediately. Absalom had many fickle people with him. Those who were simply moving with the new tide of power, who perceived their financial future would be secure. Their decision to follow Absalom was not out of love or loyalty. It was out of sheer convenience. But for David, however, the Bible indicates that when he readied those around him for departure, a certain servant humbly approached him and said, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." Absalom had turncoat soldiers. David had loyal servants. Those who followed Absalom saw an opportunity to glean something for themselves from a fractured kingdom. Those who followed David were willing to trek to the darkest corners of the earth if need be. You see, servants of the king never look at the situation. They focus on the sovereign. They know that when all is said and done, the king will be on his throne, and the betrayers will be humiliatingly defeated. Tough times reveal both self-servants and just plain servants. Are you an extended stay servant? Are you willing to walk with God no matter how difficult the road looks ahead? Are you willing to commit your service to a king who looks to be in exile and may apparently never get his kingdom back? Oh, I know. It's easy to say I'm a Christian in the peaceful environs of handshakes and backslaps and smiles. But when the furnace is turned up 7 times hotter by way of modern rejection, when the crowds continue to grow against the God of heaven and earth, when the unfriendly stares are leveled at you because you are one of those meddling Christians, then is the real test of whether you are a full-time servant or just a part-time sensation follower. The bottom line is that when Absalom turned the hearts of so many in the city, David had many willing to go with him in the wilderness. That is the kind of loyalty you can expect from God. He will go with you in the wilderness, through the valleys, over the unsafe lands of fear and depression. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He won't get into the journey halfway and decide that your human deficiencies aren't worth his investments. Do you feel that you've made the wrong choices too many times? Psalm 103:12 states, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." God only needs humility from you, and he will move heaven for you. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So don't let pride barricade a blessing. Don't let stubbornness or thought of embarrassment keep you from the cross. For when you humble yourself to the king, he will rumble the earth to break down the walls. He will tumble the strongholds to set you free. He will fumble the reins of judgment and grip the rope of delivering mercy. And he will stumble the enemy's feet that run swift to your execution. All he needs from you are extended arms of desperation, and he will give you extended stay mercy. He will continually heal your wounds. He will continually give you food for your soul from the ample loaves of heavenly bread. He will continually shade you from the violent rays of heated suns existing in galaxies of human hatred and animosity. He will continually share his love with your affection-starved soul. He will continually teach you the better ways of life and liberty. He will continually transform you from the caterpillar limitations to the butterfly impossibilities of character and existence. He will continually press the bow of your ship into the teeth of the stormy sea and enable you to endure the worst. No matter how far you've gone, God can find you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Psalm 107:2-6. Maybe you feel that the desert you've been in has been an unwarranted perpetuation of dryness and loneliness, extended stay isolation. But even if you think you've been in the desert so long that you could start an hourglass business, plenty of sand, hear what the scripture says about God's extended stay presence. Psalm 139. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. William Shakespeare once said, "The quality of mercy is not strained. It drops as the domain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed, a blessing to him that gives and to him that takes." So, you can dwell in the low place of fear and let self-pity be your drinking buddy, or you can reach out for the ever-extended arm of salvation, for his hand is not shrunken by your circumstance. He won't show you a fist when you need a hand. He can reach you at your lowest, save you at your worst, love you when everyone else has given up on you, and pick you up when others simply walk by. Isaiah said it in chapter 59 and verse 1 of his book, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." The Targum says it like this, "Behold, not through defect of hand or power, from the Lord ye are not saved, nor because it is heavy to him to hear, that your prayer is not received." And the Message says it like this, "Look, listen, God's arm is not amputated. He can still save. God's ears are not stopped up. He can still hear." Get the point? God's arm is extended to you now. Take hold of his hand and begin to experience extended stay mercy. It is mercy that is everlasting. Taste of the living waters of his gifts, especially the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you want to know how to receive that Acts 2:38 experience, well, then he makes it very simple. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray for someone today listening to this message. Someone who's lived in punishment and penalty. Someone who's lived with self-condemnation and endless guilt. Someone who has lived with weighty shame and not knowing how to rid themselves of all of the past mistakes. But Lord, I pray that they would have an experience of your mercy that is everlasting and your truth that endureth to every generation. Let them come to the cross today. Let them feel the power of the blood to cleanse them today. I pray in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.